I really am excited to see everybody here today. This has just been, actually, it's a good time here at Navigation Church. The children are in the same building as us. We're moving towards December. I know this was an announcement that's supposed to be made later, but I'm already excited about it. If you haven't marked your calendars for December 17th yet, mark your calendar. It's going to be our Christmas play. All the kids, all the teens, everybody's in here with us at one time. It will be mass chaos, and it's beautiful. It's fantastic. And if you go, well, my kids, I don't know if they can be here ahead of time to practice, show up anyway. We throw a sheep costume on, put them in the corner, and they're a part of the play. It's fantastic. No skill required. But this is just going to be a fantastic Sunday morning. December 24th, we're going to be here for Christmas Eve service. Just always a beautiful service where we remember the birth of Jesus Christ, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, December 31st, we're going to end the year right. Normally, we talk about starting the year right. Well, this year we're going to end it right. So December is going to be a wonderful month around here. I'd hate for you to miss any of it, so make sure to mark your calendars now. And I also want to just let you know, I think we don't do a good enough job letting you guys know how often you're influencing other people. Today we have all of our youth leader or our Reach student ministry. They are at a retreat all weekend long, praying, seeking God, making sure there's alignment in the ministry. I know we have different individuals at a church in another town over. This church is going through a transition season, and different church members have been going there on a regular basis. Dr. Patty heading up, helping out this church, really try to find its mission on the day to come. And I could kind of go down a list. We are doing a lot more than just being here on a Sunday morning. You are a part of helping influence other churches also. So it's a good day. Good day to be here. And it's a good day because I'm random today. That's always a good thing, maybe a scary thing, but today's a real thing. And here's why. Today's an interesting sermon because I don't feel like I have a sermon for you. I feel like I have three sermons for you. So this is when I go back to prayer and God and go, come on. Come on, give me one thought that I can just say it, because here's what pastors do. We have this great opening story that captures your attention, which I forgot to do that one this morning. Okay, so great opening story. We capture your attention. We tell you what we're going to tell you. Then we go through and we tell you about that. Then at the end, we tell you what we told you. And here's what I need to tell you today. I need to tell you three things, because I think we're going to run into a situation where there's multiple groups sitting in this one room. I think there's some of you that are going to be sitting here, possibly watching online, either live or afterwards, that you were a part of following Jesus Christ, and you've fallen away, you've walked away, you've given up on it, you're confused by it. The Bible would call you like a prodigal son, that there's something inside of you, you want to come back. And so if that's you here today, I want to talk to you. But then I think there's another group that maybe the majority, where a lot of people could be sitting. There's some of us that run to the wrong thing. Instead of running to God, we run to the wrong thing. And so I'd hate to ignore you today. I'd hate not to share with you, but it's something that we do need to talk to. What happens if you are running to the wrong thing instead of the right thing? So number one could just be a religious thing. Number two, you're running to law. You're looking for love in all the wrong places. Can we say it like that? And then here's a third one. There could be those of you that are just fighting with embracing God. And I actually want to tell you, when you fight against God, you actually chemically and internally fight against the ability to love God. So I want to talk to us about all three of those areas today. So congratulations. If you don't like one of my sermons, stay tuned. There's two more coming. But today's about embracing the truth of Jesus Christ, and embracing the truth about Jesus Christ is what we've covered over the last 3 weeks. So how can I tell you to embrace what we've talked about if you haven't been here over the last 3 weeks? Kind of a hard thing to do. So congratulations. You're here for Review Sunday. Everyone say Review Sunday. Pastors do that just to make sure you're paying attention. That's the only reason we ever ask you to repeat. Enjoy that bit of fact next time someone has you do that. Say do that. Yeah. Really? You guys actually did it on that one? Okay, that was personal enjoyment on that. So here's where we're at. In this group, people that you talk to, one of five categories that everyone's going to fall into when it comes to embracing or knowing Jesus Christ. Number one, you have people who say, I can't believe, right? I think I have, there it is I can't believe. And in their mind, they're warring with all the data that you gave them. And here's what it boils down to. Yeah, but. It's almost like they have a certain amount of information. There's a certain level of illumination going on in their head, but they can't just embrace the revelation of what they're talking about. So as we've been talking about the case for Jesus Christ, you could fall in the category of, I just can't believe. And here's what we can do. We can just keep giving you more information. Then the second one is, I don't know what to believe. After all, there's so many religions out there, right? There's so many faith. There's just in Christianity alone, you have charismatic, you have Pentecostal, you have Catholic, Protestant, Methodist, Baptist, First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third Baptist, like they even themselves are splitting off, and you're going, which of these, all this information that's out there, which of them do I embrace? Because the worst thing to do is to believe something that's false, right? So instead of believing something that's false, I don't know what to do, so now I'm frozen of where you're at. I don't know what to believe, and this is actually why we covered what we covered for the case of Christ, because we gave you, and here's what it kind of boils down to, that if you just look at statistics, Christianity has the best shot of being correct. I know I'm supposed to be more spiritual than as a pastor, but historically speaking, we have the greatest data to prove that we actually had a man named Jesus Christ that came to earth, died on a cross, and was raised again 3 days later. So I'll get to that in a minute, because now we're at the third group that we need to talk about. I don't want to believe. This is an interesting category, because you have enough information to know that you should embrace the revelation that we're talking about, but the moment you say yes to believing actually says, I know that I'm going to have to change who I am because this guy's telling me what I should be. So I'd rather keep going on in my hedonistic lifestyle. I'd rather go along with my personal humanistic lifestyle. I'd rather be Lord of my own life. So I don't want to believe. Hey, and at least you're honest with yourself. You're not going to save yourself, but you're at least honest with yourself that the moment I say yes to that probably means I need to make some life adjustments, and that's hard for me to embrace. And then the fourth category is, I believe, isn't that enough? And if you go, what does this mean? So if you ever meet somebody, and again, I'm not trying to pick on a denomination, but if you hear someone go, yeah, I'm Methodist, you know, I'm Catholic, I'm Baptist, that's great. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christ follower? Are you a born-again believer? There's all these terms that we can put to it, but it's one thing to say, I know my wife, but I live in a separate house. We never talk. You don't show up for holidays. Kids are her responsibility. Wouldn't you go, boy, that's a really bad marriage, right? Okay, so you know Jesus, great. You don't read his Bible. You don't talk to him on a regular basis. You don't give to things that he's doing in life. And I would say this, yeah, you're probably in a bad relationship. Like, there needs to be more than that. So it's more than just a head knowledge. It's a heart response. And then it could be this group. Maybe you're in this group. I believe. Amen. We have at least one person here. I'm thrilled about that. So there's one of you. If you believe, say I believe. You shouldn't right now because, right, it's just making you repeat, make sure you're awake. So, okay, so I believe. And you're going, okay, so I believe. Why am I sitting here? You're talking to people who don't believe. No, I'm talking to you because I believe since you know you believe, you need some information to be able to put in your pocket so that when you meet someone who doesn't believe, maybe someone in your life, the one in your life that God's called you to, that for that one, you're willing to learn what you don't know so that you can give them what they don't have. So if you're here and you go, I believe, I would say this, great, let your faith be reinforced and let your knowledge be increased so that you can help serve someone else. Because when you go to serve someone else, there's going to be a handful of things that they say, such as, and these are 3 points, if you were not here 2 weeks ago, for the title of it was Exploring the Facts, you need to go online, download our app, and you need to watch that sermon. I'm a humble person, but I'll tell you now, that was a fantastic sermon. There was great information of the practical proof that we have that Jesus Christ did three things. Number one, Jesus Christ lived. So here's how I'm going to summarize this point. You will not find any historian, you will not find agnostic, atheist, or Christian, or other historian that doesn't admit that a man named Jesus Christ lived during this time period. Actually, Muhammad even refers to him. Like, Jesus Christ, there was a man named Jesus Christ who lived. Which, by the way, as far as you're concerned, who cares? Because there's been a lot of men by this name who lived during this time period. But then this one, here's why it becomes a big deal to you. He said something that other ones didn't. He goes, I'm the Son of God. That set him apart. You need to know that. That was kind of a big deal. Actually, the priest during that time freaked out so much they ripped his robe and eventually got him killed. So now Jesus goes, I'm the Son of God, which here's why this matters. Because we need to find out if point number two existed. Did Jesus Christ die on a cross like the historians say? So just so you know, the death of Jesus Christ is the most documented ancient historical situation ever recorded in human history. There's more documented proof that a man named Jesus Christ out of Nazareth, actually died on a cross. And we can go a step further. The American Medical Journal actually wrote an entire paper on the fact that Jesus Christ died on a cross. So it isn't like some Christians wrote this. It isn't like some Christian historians wrote this. You have outside sources actually saying that a man named Jesus Christ, and here's what, still doesn't matter to you. Why? There was a lot of people who died during that time period on Roman crosses. But there is one little thing. This is kind of the big deal on our faith. Did he come back to life? Because guess what? Tomorrow, I could die for my faith. Doesn't make me a savior. It makes me a martyr. Two really different things. So I don't know why that entertained me so much, but it did. So two different things. So here's the fact. The crux of the entire Christian faith falls on this one point. Did a man named Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago live? Yes. Did he die on a cross? Yes. 3 days later, was he back to life? You have over 500 eyewitnesses. You have 9 historical people, by the way, only 4 in the Bible, 5 outside the Bible, that write about a man named Jesus Christ who came back to life 3 days after his death. So in this faith that we're talking about, everything today that I need to explain to you and talk to you about and say, I would want you to embrace the truth. That's what we've covered over the last, it was 3 weeks ago and 2 weeks ago. Last week we had a guest minister, Barbara, that was here with us. A beautiful job on your vision and embracing your destiny. But for us today, the conversation is we need to embrace where we're at in life. And so in doing that, there's our 3 different points. The first one I want to talk to you today is this thought. Those that have been with God but walked away from God. I have a question. Is there anybody in your life that you know that? That they were born again Christians, that they loved God, they went to church and they did all these things, but somehow God failed them? You know, church failed them? Relationships failed them? Can we just say yes to all of those things, right? I mean, it's not one thing, it's many things. And what ends up happening is since we walked away from this relationship, it feels like there's not a bridge to walk back towards this relationship. And I think we miss the picture of what it takes to get people to come back to Jesus Christ. And part of it is because they had the wrong perception on the front side. You know, have you ever met someone like this? The moment they get saved, they show up at church and they just start doing everything. They're volunteering for ushers and coffee bar and camera and online services and the children's ministry. Oh, you got a broken door, I'll come up on Tuesday and fix it. Like they jump in and they do everything because something in our mind, and by the way, some of us just live day to day, you think if you work hard enough, you gain Christ's love, but Christ is telling you that he did all the work to give you love. And it's really hard just to embrace the fact that Jesus loves us for who we are. Doesn't mean he wants us to stay there, but he connects with us with where we're at. And so we have this mental block and we don't know what to do because we have all these questions about Christ. Actually, in the book, Case for Christ, he tells a story about a gentleman by the name of Charles Templeton. Does that name ring a bell to anybody here? From the 40s and 50s, he was Billy Graham's best friend. Does the name Billy Graham ring a bell to anybody? Okay, so as far as Christians go, he's on our Mount Rushmore. Like, this guy's a big deal. Like, does crusades, evangelist, influential leader throughout decades now. So Billy Graham had a best friend by the name of Charles Templeton. Many people actually thought Charles was going to take over and be a better, greater, bigger evangelist than even Billy Graham. Charles Templeton ended up going to a liberal college, and while he was there, he began questioning things of God. Let me ask, have you ever heard questions like this? Why would God let good things happen or bad things happen to good people? Right? How could a loving God let people go to hell? Right? Have you ever heard that? How could, so he started getting all these questions, and in these questions, he started doubting, even went to Billy Graham and tried to convince Billy Graham why he should stop preaching the gospel. And Billy Graham goes, I can't. I have to keep going. So when the author, the gentleman for Case for Christ, heard about this guy, he asked if he could go interview him. And when he went to interview him, all these things started coming out. How could a guy like this? And how could a guy like this? And how could a guy like that? And all of a sudden, Strobel asked Templeton, he goes, tell me about the man named Jesus Christ. Not the faith, not the religion, not the four walls, not the church, not the steeple, not the cross hanging in the back. Not that. Just tell me about the man named Jesus Christ. And here's what Templeton said. He was the greatest human being that had ever lived. He was a moral genius. And he was intrinsically the wisest person I've ever encountered in all of my readings. So Strobel went on back and asked him some more questions. And it says, you sounds like you really care about him. Templeton replied this. He goes, well, yes. He was the most important thing in my life. I know it may sound strange, but I have to say it. I adore him. Everything good I know, everything decent I know, everything pure I know, I learned from Jesus, and in my view, he's the most important human being who ever existed. And then, when Templeton uttered those words, Strobel never expected to hear him saying, Templeton's eyes swelled up with tears, and he said this, if I can put it this way, I miss him. If you're here today, and you've walked away from your Savior, it is okay to say this. I miss him. You don't have to miss the junk that came along with it. You don't have to miss someone practicing their Christianity that got played out on you. Does that make sense? Someone might have, you ready for this? A human being might have done it wrong in presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. A human being might have done something wrong in interpreting the Bible and presenting it to you. Mankind is flawed all the time, even when we're meaning to do our best. But it is okay to say this, I miss Jesus. And if you're here today and you've walked away from God, I need to paint this picture in your head if you don't know what the Bible says. The Bible says God's like a man who's sitting waiting for his prodigal son to come home. And he's sitting by the window. He has all these businesses to oversee. He has all this land to oversee. He has another son to take care of. He has servants that he has to oversee. But he's sitting in a window looking out at you right now, just waiting to see the horizon break with the silhouette of his son. And when he saw it, said this man stood up. And by the way, Jewish men during this time, no. He grabs his robe, pulls it up underneath him, and he takes off running. And that day, if you're running, you stole something or a dog's chasing you. Those are your two options. But said he ran to his son that was filthy and dirty, and the father embraced him. And here's what I need you to hear God saying to you. I've missed you too. So embrace the truth that everything we've talked about over these last couple weeks boils down to a God who loves you and wants to welcome you back home. So who's the second group that I want to talk to? So I'm going to play a music video right now. And if you're not into rap, good luck. Okay? But here's the thing. This is a song that I haven't been able to shake, ministered to me a lot. But then also because of the work that I've been able to do with the city and police departments and things like that, I can tell you now when it comes to addicts, when it comes to heroin and pills and things like that, it's an epidemic. And here's who I believe the second group is. We're looking for love in all the wrong places. So if you're watching online, as we're streaming this, you'll be able to watch this now. But after this live service, I will need you to hit pause, go to YouTube, look up NF, why did you leave us? And I'm just going to ask everyone to sit back, try to hear the message that's being communicated today.
Thinking this isn't real. I think of you when I get a whiff of that cigarette smell. I got this picture on my room and it kills me. But I don't need a picture on my mom, I need the real thing. Now a relationship is something we will never have. But why do I feel like I lost something that I never had? You should have been there when I graduated. Told me you love me and congratulations. Instead you left us at the window waiting. Where you at, mom? What you young to understand? Where you at, huh? Yeah, I know them drugs that got you out, Captain. I can see it in your eyes, they got your mind captured. Some say it's fun to get the high, but I am not laughing. And what you don't realize and what you're not grasping, that I was nothing but a kid who couldn't understand it. I ain't gonna say that I forgive you, cause it hasn't happened. I thought that maybe I'd feel better as time passes. If you really care for me, then where you acting? Why would you leave? Why would you leave? How could you leave us? How could you leave us? Why would you leave us? Oh. Our last conversation, you and I sat in the living room talking about my music, and I brought you something to listen to. You started crying, telling me this isn't you. A couple weeks later, guess you were singing a different tune. You took them pills for the last time, didn't you? They took you from us once, I guess they came back to finish you. Crying my eyes out in the studio is difficult. Music is the only place that I can go to speak to you. It took everything inside of me not to scream at your funeral. Sitting in my chair, that person talking was pitiful. I wish you were here, mama, but every time I picture you, all I feel is pain. I hate the way I remember you. They found you on the floor. I could tell you felt hollow. Gave everything you had, plus your life to them pill bottles. You gave everything you had, plus your life to them pill bottles. Don't know if you hear me or not, but if you're still watching, mom, why would you leave? Why would you leave? How could you leave us? How could you leave us? Why would you leave?
So this is a story of a young man who lost his mom to pills. And ultimately, she was looking for happiness. She was looking for purpose. She was looking for meaning. She was looking for relief in the wrong places. Two things. One, if you're here today and you are struggling with pills, alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, addiction of any sort, I'll tell you now, God can bring you freedom from all of that. I believe in a Savior that 12-step programs are fantastic, but when you find yourself at the one step of the foot of the cross, He can change everything in an instant. If you're here, I will let you know that at the end, we have prayer teams that are going to be to my left, and I want you to connect with them. And here's what you need to come. You need to walk up and go, I'm struggling with this. Not this vague, like, man, I have some issues in my life, or I've been going through some things. Like, no, listen, I pop pills. It started with one because my back hurt. Now I can't go throughout the day without 12 of them, and I can't be on these things anymore. If that is you, you can find freedom today. But here's what all of us need to hear, is we end up running to these things we think will give us life, but ultimately all they reveal is death. We run to these things because in this moment we feel good, but somehow when that wears off, the emptiness has grown because we've grasped ourselves. We've connected ourselves to something that was never meant to bring life. And if you're here running to the wrong place, I want to let you know that God is here to give you the thing that you need. And it's Him. It's a relationship with Him. Think about the first time you fell in love. That euphoric feeling you feel because, you know, little Sally liked you, little Timmy talked back to you, and all of a sudden you have these butterflies. But do you know what happens over time? I'm celebrating 13 years at the end of this month. Guess what? Butterflies go away. They do. That day-to-day, I'm going to say, how many stayed up all night on the phone with someone and would say this, no, you hang up first. You hang up first. We all did it. Men, be proud. You were there. Why? She was hot. You were, okay, so you're like, I'm not allowed to say the word hot. I just realized that after I said it. So you were good looking, and I honor you as a daughter of Christ. So just keep going, Pastor. So, right, you got all these butterfly feelings, but eventually it's, hey, I just need to call home and check in. Right, because this temporal relationship is only ever going to be able to give you so much, yet in this relationship, it can mirror what God has for you, and it's a healthy marriage. It's a healthy relationship. So if you have been running to the wrong things in life, I just want to tell you this. God's here to give you the right thing. Third one is real quick. I'm going to have a short clip in just a second from the actual movie Case for Christ so we can bring this to a close. But I want to tell you this. This could both be used for a marriage sermon or this sermon. How many ever heard the phrase fight or flight or freeze? Right? When something happens, you're faced with a situation, and all of a sudden you get all amped up and you don't know if I'm going to fight this thing, or like you do what I do, you run from this thing, right? Fight or flight. Or what some people do is freeze. There's drama happening. There's trauma happening. What's going on right now? So here's what happens. In your body during this fight or flight time, cortisol and dopamine gets pumped into your body. Adrenaline. Have you ever heard that word? Right? So what happens? You get all fired up, you get shaky, you get going and going, all of a sudden the situation's done, and afterwards, what are you doing? You're all fired up, your body's full of chemicals, you're ready to fight, you're ready to flight, or you're ready to freeze, but something's happening inside of your body. So every time you go into a fight situation, your body gets dumped with these chemicals that produce the fight mode. Here's the most interesting thing that happens. When the chemicals of cortisol and dopamine get dumped into your body, it actually kills two other chemicals. Ready to this? Oxytocin and serotonin. Everyone say this, who cares, right? Because it means nothing at this point. I sound like a medical doctor because I slept at a Holiday Inn Express. So those are old enough commercials, enjoy that. So here's what happens. Oxytocin, the third trimester of a woman who's pregnant, the body releases oxytocin bathing over this child for the entire third trimester, and it's the chemical that makes two people connect. Serotonin is the chemical your body produces. Anyone ever work out? After you work out, you feel good. Your body's full of serotonin. Why? Because it's the make you feel happy chemical. Okay, so you ready for this? Every time you get in a fight or flight mode, it releases chemicals in your body that take away the ability to connect with another human being and to feel happy. So if you're in a relationship right now and you guys are fighting all the time and you go, I don't know why we can't connect, it's because you are releasing oxytocin or cortisol and dopamine into your body, and these chemicals kill the ability actually to connect with the person you're fighting with. So if you want to connect with the person that you say you love, if you want to connect with your spouse, you have to put down the gloves. And you have to start releasing oxytocin and serotonin. And you go, is this all in the Bible? Well, no, but God created us. And we've had doctors that have done research, and they revealed this truth, that God has actually given us the ability to connect with other people, but if you fight with them, you actually lose that ability. So for those married, there's a little nugget for you. For those of you who've been fighting with Christ, and you go, I don't know why I can't embrace Him. That's because you're in the fight or flight mode. What if, just what if, put that to the side, give God 1 minute, give God 3 minutes, give God 5 minutes and say this, I'm not going to fight with you today. Let me see if I can connect with you, oxytocin. Let me see if I can feel happy with you. And here's we're so busy fighting what God's trying to do in our life, we're losing the meaning that He's trying to connect with our life. So how do we connect with him? Well, every week we've been showing you a very short clip from the movie Case for Christ. I want to show you this one clip. We're all going to learn a mathematical equation, and we're going to call it a day. Take a look at this.
When you became a Christian, I freaked out. I mean, I was scared. And I felt like that I needed to save you. And so I decided to set out to prove this with all of it come. That's what I've been doing all this time. I just had to prove this whole thing wrong. But I couldn't. The evidence for your faith is more overwhelming than I could have ever imagined. But it wasn't just the evidence.
There's no wrong way or right way, just you. You talk to God.
Mm-hmm.
You tell him your heart.
Mm-hmm. And I only do that right now, I'm assuming we go to church.
Right here, right now. This is church.
Thank you.
Amen. So if you're on Twitter, if you're on Facebook, if you're on social media of any sort, there's going to be a right behind me, believe plus receive equals become. That's our tweetable Facebook hashtag Instagram moment of the day. Whenever you mark that you were at church today, you're here to tell people one thing. Believe plus receive equals become. Christmas is coming. My kids are going to come downstairs and there's going to be a present underneath that tree. And here's the thing. They believe that gift is theirs. But until they actually receive it, it doesn't become a part of their life. There's a gift sitting up here by the name of man of Jesus Christ who died for you. But if you leave it here as just information on the stage, or maybe you have some illumination of this Christ thing, this Jesus thing we're talking about, it doesn't become your revelation until you embrace it. And then guess what? You become it. And I love that he goes, are we supposed to go to church? Like, how do we do this? Ready for this? I may pop someone's bubble here. No magic prayer. There isn't. There isn't you didn't say this sample of what the prayer is? Because I promise you this, if you just go, God, help me. He responds as much as someone who poetically recites something for the next 20 minutes. It's the meaning behind it. So if you believe it and you receive it, you become it. So if you're here today and you've been running from Christ, maybe you ran away from him. Maybe you knew him, but it was confusing to you and you didn't fully embrace it. I'm here to tell you this. God's looking at you to say, I've missed you too. And he's been longing for the reconnection of your soul to him. If you're sitting here and going, I've been running to find love in all the wrong places, I have the right one for you today. It brings life, not death. It brings wholeness, not brokenness. It takes beauty out of the ashes that are your life. It takes the brokenness of who you are and creates a beautiful mosaic at the hands of our Savior. And I want to tell you this, no need to run wrong anymore because you found right. Or if you just had your boxing gloves on with God, I'll tell you now, your arms will always be too short when you swing for him. And you're swinging at the air. You're grasping at straws. And God's here to say, I don't have gloves on. Put down the fight. Stop those chemicals from getting in your body and killing the ability for us to connect like a mother does with her child or a creator does with his creation. And guess what? When you find that connection, you find happiness. True happiness, or could I use this word, joy? So if you're here today and you go, you know what? I'm ready to embrace the truth. I want to have a conversation with just you. So could everybody else get out of our conversation by doing this? Close your eyes. Just don't be looking around the room because there's somebody in here right now that is looking at me going, when you said, I've been running away from, that's me. Or I've been running towards the wrong thing, that's me. I've been fighting with God because I've been feeling the pull, but I've been fighting with him. I'm ready to settle it down now. If you're here today and it's time to embrace the truth, no fancy prayers, no doing it right. It's just you going, that's me and I'm ready today. I'm going to ask you to simply raise your hand in the air so that I can identify that you've made the decision. Today's the day that you embrace. I see that hand over there. I see that hand back there. Praise God. If you're here today and you ran away from God and you say, I'm ready to run for him, just slide your hand in the air. If you've been addicted, if you've been running, if you've been chasing all the wrong things, I see you. And if it's time to put away the fight, for all of us that are believers of Jesus Christ, know that these are the type of things you're going to run into. Be equipped for the one that you can talk to him. But now let's just say this prayer. God, I don't know if I'm doing this right. And I'm going to ask everyone to say this with me. I don't know if I'm doing this right. I don't know if this prayer is perfect. But I mean this. I miss you. I need you. I want you. Become Lord of my life. Today, God, we celebrate that we've been chasing after this case for Christ. We celebrate that our minds are smarter, our souls are filled, but our spirits are redeemed because of who you are and what you've done in our life. And for those of you that have made decisions today, we celebrate with you today. And you don't know what tomorrow looks like, but I'll tell you now, it's calling for you to live the life that you were created to live. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's put our